If we could start, I meant to ask you guys this, Luke chapter 10, verse 18. We could begin at verse 18, and we'll read all the way through 24. Let's begin. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated, and I'm going to ask Mike Windsor, one of our elders, to pray over me.
Father, as we come before you at this time in our service, we just ask, as we sung moments ago, I just ask that we would become desperate for you. And Father, as that statement reveals, that's not a thing that we can get to on our own, Lord. That's something that only your Spirit can show us. So, Father, I just would pray that you would give us spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. Father, that you would bless us through the giving of the word, through your servant, Pastor Tom. I ask that you would give him boldness to speak to us truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I think it's appropriate to take a moment to give thanks to the Lord and to our leadership here, our elders, our governing board, our ministry heads. We are very blessed here to have committed, godly men and women who serve the Lord in various capacities. And I'm especially thankful for our elders that work closely with me. They are my strength. They are my accountability. They are my fellowship. And I rejoice in what God has done in the midst of His people here. We have in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the sermon, and that will go along with the PowerPoint presentation. If you will find that helpful, I invite you to use that. And if you haven't turned already to Luke chapter 10, please do so. Several of us men were commiserating in the fact that our wives are gone. For those of you who your wives didn't, or your girlfriends didn't go on the retreat, or maybe they just went for the day, maybe it's not such a big deal to you. But for those of us who are married, we feel kind of lost right now without our spouses. And we're very thankful that they're coming back this afternoon. Amen, men? Amen to that. Amen to that. I'd like to take just a moment to pray for them as they finish up and head home. And also, I'd like to lift up as well Joe Johns, Jay Johns' father, who's still in the hospital, had a stroke last week and is recovering still. It's going to be, although he's done well, he's going to be a while, and we're thankful for that. We're also thankful that David Flower is here today and miraculously recuperated. We thought it was a heart attack. They thought it was a heart attack, but it was not. Not sure exactly all the details yet, but David is giving glory to God that he's able to be here today. What was it that you said, David? The Lord knew you needed to be an usher this morning? Amen. Well, we're glad you're here, brother. Bless you. Bless you. Take a moment and pray with me. Father, as we focus this morning in our Sunday school class, we understand that you have set aside your servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only our Savior, our Sanctifier, but He is our Healer and coming King. We know that all healing comes from your hand, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of lifting these up. We've prayed for David already, and we thank you for him, Lord. We thank you that you've raised him up. We pray for Jay's father, Joe Johns. We ask that you would continue to raise him up. And Lord, that you would speak to him and that this would be a time that he would draw close to you. We also pray, Lord, for safety as our dear wives travel back from the retreat. We thank you for what you've been doing in their midst. And we ask that you keep them safe. We look forward to hearing the wonderful things that they have received of you and how they've interacted with each other. Lord, speak to us through your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting, whenever you're chosen for something, chosen to do something special, it makes us all feel very special, doesn't it? When I went off to college, they had these sort of intro meetings, intro gatherings, and one of them was sort of a variety show, sort of a talent show. And lo and behold, they chose me to take part in this one talent show. Now, two things you need to know. Number one, I don't have any talent, and so I don't know why they chose me. Number two, I'd never been chosen like this to be in front of people, and of course I was scared to death. But they gave me a small part, and they say, you need to come up and play the role of a flower. And the word that I was supposed to say was pretty. Yeah. Very manly, right? But there was one thing that really helped me to overcome my shyness, overcome the silliness of it all. Except there was another person that was chosen and would be standing right next to me, and that young lady happened to be named Brenda Miles, who was to become Brenda Leonard. And so I was able to overcome because I felt very special. Now, she didn't know that yet, neither did I, but the Lord had His ways and His reasons. We're here today because every one of us who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior has been chosen. Chosen to see, and see something very special. See something very precious. We often come to church, we gather with other believers sometimes. We have prayer. We perhaps listen to the Christian radio station. And I think unfortunately what happens is sometimes we lose the specialness, the awesomeness of what it means to really understand, to see and know who Jesus Christ is. And even most excitingly is to know that we are His. He is ours and we are His. Jesus wants us to know that He is the Son of God. He wants us to know that we can know Him, and through Him we can know the Father, and therefore know salvation in our lives. Let me ask you a question as you're here today. Do you know Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you know in your heart of hearts that He is your Lord and He is your Savior? Is there any doubt whatsoever in your heart that He is the one and only way to God the Father? Jesus, who claimed, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. An echo later on in the Gospel of John. And here, as we read just a moment ago, He says, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him to. Are you here today? Do you know Him? Do you truly know Him? Do you see who Christ is? If you're here today and you have to answer that, I'm not sure, then I trust today God will touch your heart. God will reveal, He will open your eyes to see who He is. The Son. The way to the Father. If you do know Jesus Christ, if you can answer that affirmatively, if you can say, yes, Pastor, I do know Jesus Christ. I knew who He is. He is my Savior and my Lord. He is the only way to the Father, and I know Him. You have to understand that Jesus has chosen you. He has chosen you to see. He has chosen to open your eyes and my eyes to see who He truly is. The main point of what is being shared in these verses here is this, that we, as His chosen ones, are to be joyful and to give thanks that Jesus has opened our eyes to see that He is the Son and that we know the Father through Him. Jesus has opened our eyes and we know the Father through Him. Isn't this a beautiful passage? We are actually getting a glimpse of a personal moment of praise with Jesus. It's sort of as, you know, you see these interviews that are on TV, and you know how people are when they're in the public light, you know, they're speaking and there's a certain level of respect and a certain level of, you know, properness and so on and so forth. And then you will have the personal interview afterwards, right? It's kind of the same setup here. Jesus has been teaching. He's been talking to His disciples publicly. And now, in a personal moment, it's like the personal interview. In just a moment, they speak to Jesus and He has this beautiful moment of praise to the Lord. And He says, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Do you see it? He's not teaching here. It's a personal moment when He's speaking and praying and praising out of His heart. I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and You have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was Your good pleasure. Let's break it down in a few minutes that we have together. Number one, as we see this beautiful prayer and praise statement from Jesus, number one, it's very clear that no one can know who the Son is or who the Father is unless the Son chooses to reveal it to them. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe that. There's a lot of people today that think, well, you know, if I just seek knowledge, somehow I will find God. I'm just going to, you know, seek all the knowledge in the world. I'm going to check all these things out. I'm going to, you know, check out Buddhism. And I'm going to check, you know, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to get in the lotus position and I'm going to meditate until Buddha reveals Himself to me. Or I'm going to center down until I reach nirvana because Krishna has said that's the way. And you can go through all these gyrations, spiritual gyrations, and you will still end up not knowing the truth. Because it is not something that you can attain to through human knowledge. You cannot simply just decide, I'm going to go out and discover what the truth is. Now, in the midst of that, if in your heart of hearts you realize that, wow, I'm really lost. I really don't know the truth. I don't understand what's going on here. If in that moment you will turn your heart towards Jesus, He will choose to open your eyes. And the thing of it is, when you get to that point, the fact of the matter is, He's already begun to choose you. He's already begun to allow your eyes to be opened. Why is that? Why is it that our eyes must be opened, not by knowledge, not by information, not by human effort? It's because our eyes are blinded to the truth of who Christ is until He chooses to open them up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Randy Denny is going to read that scripture for us.
Second Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Go back to 4 for me, James. The God of this age, you notice it's small g. It's because it's referring not to the one true God, but it's referring to the god of this age, little g, Satan. He's called the god of this age. In other words, he is the one who is in control of the world of sin, the world of unbelief. And every one of us, before we come to Christ, before our eyes are open, our eyes are blinded to the truth of who Christ is by Satan. These are not my words. These are the words of Christ's apostle, Paul. He says, the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. You see it? Human effort and human industry and human speaking will not overcome spiritual blindness. You must have the revelation of Christ given to you. Your eyes must be opened by Christ. How do we know that? Well, think with me for just a moment. Why was it that when Jesus came to this earth and He interacted with the people, it was not the spiritual leaders of the day that received Him, was it? It was not the spiritual elite. It was not the teachers, not the ones who thought they knew it all that believed in Christ. In fact, they rejected Him. And it was rather the common, ordinary people that Jesus reached out to that He chose. He opened their eyes. It's because human effort, human achievement will not overcome spiritual blindness. Number two, God has hidden this from the wise, in other words, those who are wise in their own eyes, and He has hidden it from the learned, those who by human effort try to attain the truth. But He has revealed it to little children. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. It really does. You know why? Because I'm a very simple... I look at myself as a child. I don't know about you, but, you know, I just had my 50th birthday a few months ago. I know that kind of dates me. It's kind of hard to believe I was born in 61. I mean, that's scary. I mean, that was like last century, right? Man. But you know what? I feel like a child. You're like, oh, Pastor, I mean, you're 50, your hair's gone and gray, or gray and gone, or both. You're not a child. But, you know, I feel like a child. What do I mean? I know so little of what God has to offer us as His truth. I look around this world today and it is so complex. It is so complicated. I mean, it is so messed up. And, you know, you have all these naysayers and politicians and pundits out there, and they all sit there in their smugness and say, well, you know, the reason that the world is the way it is thus and so. And they give some long spiel with a bunch of PhDs on the end of it, and you sit there scratching your head like, huh? What? What did he just say? You have no idea what he said. You know, such a complicated world that we live in. Way too complicated for me. I feel like a little child. We look at the problems that we have to overcome today in this world and just in our country, and it's like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I'm just overwhelmed. Now, I have faith in God. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not in any way frightened or scared that somehow, you know, God's let it get out of control. You know, it's just going off the charts and God can't do anything about it. Actually, I know that this is His plan. I'm going to be preaching about that in the days ahead, that this is actually God's plan. He's letting man go his way. You know, it's interesting. I did hear one politician say this. I'm not going to say who, but not long ago he said, you know, these problems, man has made these problems, and so man can fix them. Well, I agree with half of that. Man has made these problems, but I'm not so sure that man can fix them. But I feel like a child. When I look at the universe, when I look at this expanse that God has made, and I feel like a little flea on this planet. It's too great for me. I remember the words from the psalmist, and he says, you know, Lord, you have made us fearfully and wonderfully. Such knowledge is too great for me, too vast for me to understand. There's so much that I feel like a child. And yet that gives me comfort because Jesus said here, the Father has hidden it for those who think they're wise in themselves, and He's revealed the truth to little babes, little children. What does that mean? You and I, if we have come to understand Jesus has opened our eyes, it means that we are childlike in our belief that Jesus is who He is. Jesus is the Son of God. We believe it. It's just like a little child. You know, when the little child is very small and they're just beginning to understand things and you teach them, they believe you whatever you tell them. Right? I mean, you could tell your child that, you know, hey, you may not know this, but I'm a great movie star. And guess what they're going to tell all their classmates in school or their little friends? My dad's a movie star. And they'll be looking at them like, really? Hey, her dad is a movie star. His dad's a movie star. And they just believe it. And of course, when we get to be adults, we just, you know, so sophisticated that we would never believe anything like that, that Pastor Tom could be a movie star. I mean, you know. But as those who are childlike in their spirit, they're open and eager to learn the truth of who Christ is. They're open. They don't think that they know it all. They don't think that they're so wise that, oh, this Jesus could show me anything. One of the reasons that the learned people of the day rejected Christ is because He came to them as an ordinary man, right? He did not have all the credentials that they did. They said, oh, this is the son of Joseph and Mary? Isn't he from Nazareth? I mean, that's like saying, isn't he from Baltimore? You know? Like, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Baltimore. It's kind of the same concept. And I don't know that's true. I'm just using it as an example. How many are here from Baltimore? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Pick something else. D.C. Anyway, he was not learned like they were. He didn't have the credentials. He didn't have all the degrees. He hadn't gone to their schools, their rabbi schools. He hadn't sat under one of their great rabbis. And so they looked down on him. He's a simple carpenter. He works with his hands. Of what estate is he? You see, there's smugness. And human nature does that, doesn't it? Human nature looks down on those that we don't think are as good as us. And interesting, it tells us in Corinthians that God has chosen the simple things, the base things of the world, to confound the wise. It was God's purpose to bring His Son into such a mean setting as a stable. It was His purpose to allow Jesus to be born of a very ordinary woman, Mary, a maidservant, virgin birth. It was His purpose that Jesus would grow up really unnoticed for the most part. He would grow up in the midst of a town that was unnoticed for the most part. That he would have a profession, if you want to call it that, of being a carpenter. Not really looked upon as, you know, that's something, you know, highly, highly valued, highly esteemed of that day by the wise and the learned. And so it's not to the wise and learned that Jesus reveals Himself. No. It is to those who in themselves know, I'm a little child. Lord, I don't know much, but I want to know about You. There's a great example of it in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. John Rich is going to read that for us.
The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank You that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Wow. I can tell you what, the Pharisees of the day weren't real happy with that one. You got to remember that the tax collectors were looked at, they're the notorious ones. They're the traitors. They're the ones who have gone over to help the Romans. They were Jews who had gone to help the Romans by collecting the taxes from their own people. And of course, they would skim off the top. They would take their cut. They would overcharge. Usury. So in the main, tax collectors were, they were the scum of the earth as far as proper Jews were concerned. Now, this is not to say that all tax collectors were like this one. There were many tax collectors that were, fraudulent, that were corrupt, and that could care less about others. But he uses this as an example that this one particular tax collector knew himself. He had a right account of himself, didn't he? Not the Pharisee. The Pharisee, go back to the first verse in there, verse 9, James. The tax collector knew himself correctly, properly. And you see, therein is the evidence that Jesus had chosen to open his eyes. The Pharisee had a wrong account of himself. Look at the arrogance. I thank you, God, that I am who I am. I'm just wonderful, aren't I, God? I'm such a gift to you, aren't I, God? I make your day, don't I? I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all my salaries. The Pharisees were so hung up on this that they actually tithe their little herbs that they got out of the herb garden. When they would collect a harvest of herbs, they would lay it on the table and they would break it into tenth portions and they would give a tenth of it to the Lord. Don't you think God was excited that day that he got a tenth of cumin and a tenth of dill? God needs to make pickles, right? He really needs that. And then, the height of arrogance, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this man over there. A sinner. Ooh. Sinner. I thank you that I'm not like him. What arrogance. And the very statement off his lips shows his delusion, shows his deception, shows how his eyes are blinded to his own sinfulness. The very fact that he would think that he is better than this other man. Because the truth of it is, in God's sight, we are all sinners. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned, including me, and fall short of God's glory. None of us are justified by our works, but only through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus just blasts them out of the water, and he says, which of these two goes away justified? Because, it's verse 14 now, James. Make it 13, please. The tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even come near. Wouldn't even come near. And what does it say? He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am not worthy. That's an example of understanding and having a right account of yourself. That I am not worthy. God, in myself, I'm unworthy of your grace and your favor. And Jesus uses the example for us to understand that until you come to that, and that itself is part of being chosen. You understand, you can't even come to that, a right account of yourself, unless Jesus is choosing you. If you're here today, and right now at this moment, maybe you're a little offended with me. Because I would dare to call you a sinner. Your issue is not with me. Your issue is with God. It's not me that calls you a sinner. I'm simply repeating His Word. The Word says that all of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. All of us deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. Death and hell and separation from God. All of us have earned those wages. So if you're here today and you're offended at that statement, your issue is not with me. Your issue is with God. You have to understand that that's a dangerous point to be. That's a dangerous point. Your heart is hardened towards God if you're at that point. And my counsel to you is that you would soften your heart, that you would begin to turn and say, God, show me my heart. If I think that I'm righteous, if I think that I'm a pretty good person, then show me my heart. Isn't it interesting? And maybe you had conversations with people. For the most part, people think that they're pretty good people. I don't know if you found that the case or not, but I'm sort of a student of people. I study people. I've been doing that all my ministry. And I like to understand people. What makes them tick? What they think, how they think it. And most people that I've encountered, even though if you ask them the question, you know, well, have you sinned? They'll say, oh, yeah, sure, I've sinned. You know, everybody sins, don't they? But if you ask the follow-up question, well, do you think you're a pretty good person? You know, do you think that you deserve eternal life? Almost to a person, they will answer, well, yes, of course, I'm trying to do pretty good. I'm trying to do my best. And it's very telling to think that I'm pretty good. But that's human nature. That's the deception. That's the blinded eyes, to think that I don't need a Savior. That's what you're really saying. I don't need a Savior. I'm just fine. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing well. In fact, God, you see who I am, and I fast twice a week. And I pay all my tithes. I mean, you're starting to sound like the Pharisees when we start speaking like that. And so Jesus blows him out of the water and says, this man goes away justified rather than the Pharisee. Why? Because he knew who he was. If you know Jesus Christ, you know who you are and you know who he is. And number three, when you have your eyes opened by Jesus Christ, when you see who he is, you understand that Jesus says here that we are blessed. We are blessed because we see what many prophets and kings longed to see and hear, but they did not. Do you see his point? When Jesus opened our eyes, he opens our eyes so that we see who he is. When we know now who he is, when we confess like Peter did, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we can say that in faith, then we have become blessed. Listen, we just don't get it. We lose how awesome and how precious that is. It says that kings, prophets, they looked into the Scriptures. They looked into the Word over and over again to try and understand this, the mystery of the Gospel of Christ, the mystery of Christ. And they couldn't get it. It had not been revealed to them. But you and me, we have the privilege of having had our eyes opened and seeing the truth. You and I need to realize how precious that is. We need to revel in that. We need to praise God for that. You see, because that makes you a thankful person. It makes you a thankful person. If you realize where you've been, I was a sinner, lost and on my way to hell. And now Jesus says, open my eyes. When you remember that, when you recognize that and you revel in it, it makes you humble and grateful and thankful. And you would never begin to get that attitude towards others where you think you're better than them. It's really an issue of, I'm a beggar and I have found bread. And now all those around me, they too can find bread. The bread of heaven. The bread of life. Jesus Christ. Are you here today? And do you know how blessed you are? This isn't meant to be a condemning or a convicting unless you don't know Jesus. But it's meant to be a message that fills our heart with joy. Just like Jesus, who said, Father, I praise you. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you revealed them to the little children. We can pray just like Jesus prayed. Listen, you and I can pray just like Jesus, and we can say, I praise you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed it to me, a little babe, a little child. Can you say amen to that? You've revealed it to me, Lord, and I'm eternally, eternally grateful. Peter, in his letter, he says that not only did prophets and kings look into this, but even angels long to look into and find the mystery of Christ. Isn't that awesome? From eternity past, angels in heaven sought to find out, what is this plan, God, that you have? What is this plan? What is this mystery of your Son? And the angels did not know. But you and I have come to know the mystery of Christ. He has chosen to open our eyes. He has chosen us to see. I hope you will just revel in your heart at that, that you will hold that precious in your heart and in your mind, and that we will then, we will be so motivated that others who don't know this, that we can pray for them, that we can reach out to them in love, love on them, that they too can have their eyes opened to see who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so humbled as we read these words to understand that you have chosen us, Lord, not because of who we are, but because of your glory, you have reached out to us, opened our eyes to see. Lord, we are just so in awe, such in awe. That great, great hymn writer who wrote that beautiful, beautiful hymn of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We praise you, Father. We pray for anyone here today that they just sense, Lord, they don't know this. Lord, may this day be a day of salvation for them. May you open their eyes, Lord. I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up and lead us again in that beautiful song, This is the Air I Breathe. And if you're here today and you need to come on up for prayer, if you need to ask Jesus into your life, come on up and join us here. We'll pray with you. You open your heart to Christ. Let's stand as we sing together in closing.